Have your Bible tonight, if you would. Turn with me, please. The book of Genesis, chapter 37. Book of Genesis, chapter 37. I've had the privilege all of my life to be in family and having great experiences through it. Growing up in my home as a little boy, the only sibling I remember being at the house was my sister, who was 10 years older than me. My three older brothers, the youngest of the three, he was 16 years older than me. And the oldest actually came back from World War II to find me. And most guys my age, their daddies were World War II veterans. He was 20 years old when I was born. And I have some remembrances of that. The two big things that stand up in my mind is when all the Springer clan, all my aunts and uncles, they'd get together. And normally they'd go to, there were two or three of them that time were farmers. Normally ended up in my Uncle Gene's place out by Point Trainer and Silver City. And, of course, we would, all the cousins, we'd get together. We'd do all sorts of stuff, from shooting rats to climbing in the barn and, you know, we even talked him in one time to being able to take his old Jeep out into the field and just learn how to drive. He had an old Willys Jeep. And that was an interesting vehicle because you filled it up with oil and added a quart of gas and fumigated the entire countryside going down through there. Anyways, it was some great times. And I look back with those with a lot of relish. There were times I began to get older where my Christmas times and what have you, when my parents would have all of them over, and so there'd be about 20, 25, I think, that would come in with my brothers and nieces and nephews and my sis, and of course, and it was always a great time. I appreciate those times, and most of you can relate to some of those things. It's sad, but a lot of folks don't have a whole lot of family memories. I'm thankful for what I have. And of course, as we began to see our family grow and to blossom and multiply, I can't even think of the word, magnanimous times, big time. And, you know, everybody get together, we have a great time. And thank God for families, amen? Families can be a source of refuge. Or some people are refugees from their families. I want you to notice chapter number 37, book of Genesis. Go with me down to verse number 13. Genesis chapter 37, and go down to verse 13. It says, "And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it will be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren, tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard him say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hand to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned to his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in his blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it is thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave and unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Let's go, Lord. Father, thank you for the privilege to read this tremendous account that you have recorded for us. We know, oh God, that it's not just here for history lesson, but you no doubt have some spiritual application for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work in our hearts tonight. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. The object, really, of this message tonight is not to determine what kind of family you have. Here we find a dysfunctional family, do we not? You stop and think about it. There's 4 different wives and 12 different kids. Guys, no offense to your wives, but can you imagine another woman in the house? They just wouldn't get along. God didn't make them that way. And here's 4 of them together. And anyways, that's another story. But it was certainly that kind of a family. we look here and we can stop thinking about our own families. But it's not tonight to determine what kind of family you have, but what kind of family member you are. You see, you can't change your family, but you can change the member that you are. Study of the Word of God isn't to make you a better player of the blame game, but a good referee of the soul. It's help us look inside and see who we are and what can be helped in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, now all these things happened to them for ensamples. And he's referring back to these early fathers of theirs and says, they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So God had all this recorded, not just so we'd know the history of the Jewish people, but that we might understand that there are some spiritual lessons here for us to understand. They're written for our admonition. If we were to look at the previous verses in this chapter, we would discover that there are basically 2 problems with this dysfunctional family. One of the problems is Jacob the father. He had a favorite. It was well known that Joseph was his favorite. Matter of fact, the coat that he made for him, they believe that particular coat of much or many colors was a coat that represented the authority in the family. And he was the firstborn of Rachel, but we find certainly that it was something that was set him apart from the others. And yet, can you imagine, though, if you were 10 older brothers looking at this young stripling who is now given this position over you? We find also that Jacob, in his favoritism, I don't believe ever really rebuked him. You go down to verse number 11, or go up to verse number 11, we find after Joseph had made some remarks about a dream, it says his brother envied, but his father observed the same. He observed that. I don't find him rebuking him. I do find in chapter or verse number 10 that he questioned him, but nonetheless, he observed the same. We find there's another problem. One was their favoritism by Jacob. And by the way, favoritism is easy to happen in families, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Sometimes as parents, sometimes as children in a family, we don't recognize those kinds of things. And sometimes what we do see is not so much favoritism, but selfishness on our own part. And so we think everybody else is getting a better deal than we are. But nonetheless, we do find from the Word of God that he did show favoritism. We find also that then there was tremendous jealousy by the 10 older brothers. So you got 10 against one, and they did not care for him. Why did they not care for him? I do not know if it was right for Joseph to tell them his dream or not. And I don't know how he told it to them, but I do know this, they didn't like it. Because it showed Joseph as being over them in a way they did not appreciate. Not discussed. Discussed here was the probable cause of both. An exceptional behavior of Joseph, because we find he was very industrious. We find he didn't tolerate evil actions. He was obedient to his father. And so they looked at all of these things, and I believe there was some tremendous jealousy by these other 10 sons of Jacob. Though God uses their murderous attempt and subsequent sale of Joseph into slavery as a means to this family salvation, I believe we need to note something, that it's purely by the grace of God that all of that takes place. We find, first of all, that as we read there, Joseph set out to seek the welfare of his brothers, those whom hated him. We find the journey was long. Matter of fact, it's some 50 miles from Hebron to Shechem, and I understand another 15 miles to Dothan. We find that verse 15, 16, and 17. So he had a lengthy journey to go. We find that their evil was a conspiracy by all of them except for Reuben, who didn't want to kill him. He was the firstborn. Perhaps he felt some sort of responsibility in this situation. But we do see something. They all had murderous attitudes. Not all wanted to be involved in it, but they all had that kind of attitude. And so God has a method whereby he's going to take Joseph and deploy him to Egypt and use these wicked brothers to accomplish it. And they were willing to do it for a price. It's interesting, 20 pieces of silver. It was the going price of a slave in those days, and it represented about 2 years' worth of work. And so we find that they sold him as a slave. And, of course, we find that the whole thing then, they figure out how they're going to deceive their father, and all that is drawn up. And what's interesting, we will not study that tonight, but as we go through the timeline of that, how these brothers, in their conspiracy, felt the agony of that over and over again. You see it especially when they meet their brother and find out who he is, and finally have to tell their father. But I want us tonight to just stop and think about something with families. Do you realize that all matters, all the affairs of a family is a choice? It's a choice. It's a choice to hold bitterness or to practice forgiveness. It's a choice. Life, I believe, is full of choices. Do you not agree? I mean, it's this choice, that choice. If we really stop and go back and we look at all the choices we made, that's who we are today, is from those different choices through life. And so some, they make the choice to hold bitterness, and it does not make for good family remembrances. I grew up next door to a man. They never had any children, and they kind of took me under their wing, and he was not a daddy to me, but he was kind of like an uncle to me. And there were a couple times they took me on vacation, and his daddy owned a place on the lake up in Minnesota, and I went up there and fished for 2 weeks and caught 2-pound crappie. Can you believe that? And had a great time. But here's something that really caught me one day when I found out that he hated his sister. I do not know whatever happened. I don't know how it came about, but he had a bitterness there. And he made sure that whenever he went north to see his father, that his sister would not be there during that time. But she was so irritated that I think also she made sure she wasn't there when he came up. And so there's folks who, they hold bitternesses. Or we can practice a thing called forgiveness. If there's two people, there's going to be some differences from time to time. Isn't that true? And, you know, if we hold those things and we get bitter about it, it doesn't make us any better. And we need to let them go. We use the word let them go, but basically forgiveness. I went off to Bible college in 1967. And we came home for Christmas time. And, of course, at that time, just my wife and I. And we drive back, and we're sitting around my mom and dad's table. And my brothers were there, and my sis was there, and all their kids were there. And, you know, it was going really good until my brother, he piped up, and he says to me, he says, "I'm going to Mass tonight, Gene. You want to go with me?" And I said, "No." "What do you mean you don't want to go? I thought you loved the Bible and loved that." I said, "I wouldn't go to a Catholic church." I was kind of mean about it. Matter of fact, I got mad. I stormed out of the house. I remember going out into the garage and my oldest brother coming to see me and to calm me down. And if you knew my oldest brother, you knew you better calm down or you was going to get calmed down. But something really unusual took place. I never thought about it for years. That was 1967. 1973, we had been 3 years in Bible college. I'd been 3 years out in Seattle. We moved back here. And we rented a little house over on South 40th Street. And we were there for about, 3-4 months. Matter of fact, I tried to start a church right there. We held two meetings there until we, anyway, it's another story. But during that time, my brother Harry, whom had asked me to do that, whom I got mad at and said some nasty things to him, you know what he did? He came to see me and to welcome me back in town. He had forgiven me. And I remember, 6-8 years before he passed away, so it had been about 10 years ago, I wrote him a long letter, and I thanked him for that, and tried to share with him the gospel, and I never heard a reply whatsoever from him, but that was my brother. I'm thankful today that he chose to forgive me. He could have held that bitterness. And this is what I know about that. Knowing myself, if he'd have held it, I'd have held it. And somebody had to break, and he did. And I'm thankful for that. Family is a matter of choice. The matters that take place. And we can hold bitterness, we can practice forgiveness. I think about choices. Joshua, we find, of course, as he's ready to depart from this world, he challenges the people of God to choose between God's family and Satan's family. "Choose you this day whom ye will serve," he said. We find Elisha doing very much the same thing as he has met on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And he says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." And so we find that there were choices that were placed there. And you and I have choice to make when it comes to family. Now, Jeff oftentimes refers to this, and I do too. I do a little bit differently. I have a blood family. We are born within a family. My mom, my dad, I received their bloodline, right? And through that blood, we got DNA that goes clear back who knows where. And probably some horse thieves and a few others back there, but who knows what. But there's another family, as I would call it, the blood-bought family. That's you. And you know, how we deal with things is very, very important, really. There's going to come a time when you get mad at somebody here. You might be that tonight. You're not going to like something somebody does. It's just the way it is. And many times it's the preacher, because we do some stupid things from time to time. Don't say amen. And so we have those things that come along, and we have a choice to make. We can either bear bitternesses or we can practice forgiveness. A fellow I know, used to be a good friend of mine, pastors a church, and they had a big split. About two-thirds of the church left. They went and started another church, and here he's left with these. And they just built this huge building and had all this expense, and now he has hardly any income, and it's kind of a sad situation. And he got bitter. And it didn't matter what took place. He got more bitter. And he was always upset with folks, and it was not a good thing. I even talked to him one time, and I said, you know, you need to let that go. He says, I know. But he held it. It destroyed him as a pastor in that church. It actually ended up destroying what was left of the church. And it's a sad factor. It happens in the pulpit. It happens in the pew. And we have to learn what? Forgiveness. And what is it? It's a choice. We can choose to do it. You know, I don't feel like it. It's not a matter of what you feel like. It's a matter of making a choice. By the way, how many like to be forgiven? Huh? Amen? That means these folks out here got to do it. Isn't that true? Yeah. And, yeah, it is. I love when I see people who are what you might call best of friends, and what happens? There's a lot of things they disagree on, but what happens? They have made a choice to forgive, to let it go. See? So all matters of family is a choice. Also, as I look at this and see this family, this dysfunctional family, I think all incidents, all these kinds of problems that come, need to be met with strength and with what is right. In this case, we find that Reuben and Judah seem to not be in favor of killing their brother. But when we also look, they were very weak in their defense of Joseph. They perhaps could have saved that whole incident, but they did not. And so we need to meet these kinds of things with strength. Strength from God and a realization of what is right. Malign members of family or any group often need an advocate, but all too often there is an understanding of the gap to make up that difference. And so there needs to be that kind of a person. I mentioned at the very beginning, my dad's uncles and or his brothers and sisters and brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, my cousins, and all these, they get together. I didn't know it until years later. My mother pointed it out. She said, what holds that family together is your grandma. Little old white-haired lady, I mean her hair would hang clear down to her behind if she didn't have it in a bun. She always combed and put it in a big bun back of her head. And she said, that's what held all this together. Because something would get out of sorts, she would pull it together. She was an advocate. And thank God that Jesus is an advocate, amen? But God also wants us to be advocates as well. And to be of help in situations. We have them all the time. Amen? You get on the job, you're going to have some problems. You can be an advocate. Sometimes you're on one of the end of the other, and an advocate's with you, but you need to learn to do what? Forgive. Not hold resentment. Resentment terrifies the soul and destroys the person. Forgiveness lets it all go. You say, well, they deserve. Let God take care of the deserving. It's his business. Well, he'll just forgive them. Aren't you glad he did for you? Amen. Let God do what he did. That's, you know, that's giving it to the Lord and allowing him to take care of those things. And he does. And it's off your back. We as God's people too often carry things around. And we make the choice to bear this heavy burden. When we can make the choice to, hey, let it go. And we can also, I believe, be of an advocate in these kinds of situations and help people with it. So, amen. Trust God blessing that. Father, we thank you tonight for this time. Thank you for the word. And Lord, for this family, as we can look and see their struggles and hopefully glean some things from that, we pray for your blessing in the moments to follow. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.